Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Tuesday, so we are talking about getting healed, becoming whole, complete, and entire spirit, soul, and body. What we've been talking about recently is forgiveness. This is one of the most, I think, integral topics that if we don't have a grasp of the true idea behind forgiveness from God's perspective, it is a huge stumbling block to the freedom and healing that God intends for each of us to be experiencing here in this life. There's others, but the misunderstanding of forgiveness is tied to all of them. Before you are a spirit being, and in many cases and in many ways, after we become one as well, our world revolves around us. How is this going to affect me? Our regrets, our hopes, our fears are centered around our past, our present, and our future. So we can become introspective and focused on ourselves to the degree that we see everything through that prism. How does it affect me? In a sense, what we kind of need to do is follow that through and sort of get it over with. How are you affected by what God is doing, what He has done, and what He's going to do in your life? And how does becoming a spirit being change that perspective? In a sense, because we become spirit beings, our reality is now a shared reality with God. And since everything revolves around Him, in a sense, we can share in that everything now does revolve around us. Not in the sense that others revolve around us, but in the sense that we have limited influence, limited resources, limited information. We can fall into the trap, and often do, of trying to draw conclusions about what is going on in someone else's life or in someone else's decision-making process by thinking that we have enough experience, we can judge what's going on in their life by what's going on in our life. And one of the things that seeing things from God's perspective does is release us from trying to gauge anything according to our experience. your experience, your past, what you're going through now, your hopes for the future are yours. They cannot be fully experienced or related to by others. On that self level, on a soulical level. So, though we don't look at life from a soulical center of the universe, we do recognize that when we put our trust in God, when we learn to receive our life from Him, we are also allowing Him to set up whatever parameters and choices are available to our soul. So in that sense, the world does no longer revolve around ourself. It revolves for us around our spirit, who we truly are, your identity. This releases us from the pettiness of our flesh and our soul, the self-interest, but also from the emotional responses. Being released from our need to make decisions based on our own understanding, our own wisdom, our own compassion, we can come to rely on the decision-making abilities of spirit, of who we are as a spirit. Now we learn to develop wisdom and judgment and to not rely on those things that we have been relying in our soul, for instance, our emotions or the strengths of our own temperament. We learn to put those aside. We recognize they're there and they're gifts from God, but that's not our energizing source. That's not our battery, where we get our supply from, our power supply. And so regardless of your temperament, what God asks you to do, He has already provided the resources, or will teach you how to get those resources. So from starting out with that we are a self-centered being, once we become a spirit being, we become a spirit-centered being. And our soul and body is being submitted and consumed, enveloped, enveloped, overwhelmed by our spirit. One of the obstacles to that happening is our misunderstanding of forgiveness. It's other things as well, but forgiveness is a biggie. We've been talking about some of those misunderstandings, but what we've concluded is that forgiveness no longer depends on the actions or the attitude of the offending party. But now that we are spirit beings, we forgive because we are a forgiving spirit being. It doesn't matter if we feel like it. If we want to forgive, or if the other person deserves it. Forgiveness is now what and who we are. We are a forgiving person. It is now your nature to forgive. It's not a decision you make. It's not a feeling you have. It's not a desire. Now, we've also talked about how forgiveness doesn't change the consequences of someone's actions. In other words, if you forgive someone, doesn't mean the relationship is restored. That trust still has to be rebuilt, for an example. And likewise for yourself. There may be consequences you have to deal with, but that doesn't mean you aren't forgiven. This is so hard for us to accept from God. That when He forgives, it was 2,000 years ago. And He's no longer forgiving you. It was all done at one time. It was a complete act. So He doesn't do it anymore. We, again, are also trapped in the whole concept of time. That the forgiveness has to be a present expression because our falling short is a present circumstance. And God just is not time-based. We are, but He isn't. That's why when we go to Him and are, you know, whining and complaining about something having to do with forgiveness or sin, He's basically, what are you talking about? We talked before about trying to pay a bill that's already been paid. That debt has been wiped off the books. Now the enemy will come in and try to take advantage of that and try to convince you, yes, you still owe me, and I'm going to raise your interest. But that's not from God. And that's also why it's so important that we understand how He works. The true nature of our spirit identity. So we start with forgiving God. Now, I just said that forgiveness was all done. But we have been living holding grudges. And we bear these grudges, these needs for forgiveness, these misconceptions towards God, towards ourselves, and towards others. And so we're going to look at ways to address each one of those kinds of relationships and how do we handle them now so that we can move forward with an accurate response for the need for forgiveness, our perceived need for forgiveness. How does it, when it raises its head, how do we respond? Because it's part of our soulical response to either grant forgiveness or withhold it in order to get our way. So first we're going to address forgiving God. When we understand that concept of forgiveness as God uses it today and as we are living, we can expand and deepen our relationship with God by forgiving Him for hurts He has done to us. This will likely be very difficult and considered almost a blasphemous concept. How can we forgive God? How can we even think of forgiving God? He's not capable of doing something wrong, so how could he need to be forgiven? So let's remember, we're not living under or according to the law, but according to his eternal life, according to grace. And under grace, what is important is relationship, not behavior. Behavior will follow. We don't forgive God because he's done something wrong. We learn to forgive God because things, the circumstances he's arranged in our lives have caused us pain. So we ask God for, we forgive God for hurting us. Because we're still in process and learning how to live according to our new spirit identity, God often, unfortunately, has to resort to putting us into difficult situations in which we get hurt, we feel pain, we experience stress, disappointment, anxiety. Sometimes physical hurt, where we suffer the consequences of decisions, either ours or others. Now, we accept that God is the first cause of everything. It may, what the circumstances in your life may be delivered by someone else, but the originating address is God himself. Not other people. Not the world. Not the devil. They may be delivered by the world, other people, or the devil. But the return address is God himself. He's the originator of every circumstance in your life. All things are under his control and occur according to his purposes. When we can accept that he's doing these things for us, to bring us into dependence on him and to teach us to learn and to rule and reign now. When we experience pain, when pain comes into our lives, we learn to take that pain, that disappointment, that anxiety and stress, right to him first. We don't try to get out of it or blame it on someone or something, but we go right to the first cause of every event in our lives. And we say, Father, Daddy, that hurt. And because he loves us and shares our pain, he says, I'm sorry, but I love you and you needed this. This was what was best for you. And we say, that's okay, I accept it, and I love you too. We forgive God for causing the pain in our life, even though it's for our own good. It's still going to be painful. We're not going to get out of that. That's something you may need to really think about. Are you thinking that if you're in a perfect relationship with God, that somehow tragedy isn't going to come your way? I was in a checkout line behind someone who was signing out for something. And in the book, she was signing out her full life history, her social security number, her driver's license number, her phone number, her home address, her credit card number, expiration date, and signed it. And on the way out, she was lingering, and I just mentioned how that can be kind of dangerous, that someone else can come along and take all that information. And her response was, "Oh, I'm not at all worried about that. I'm a Christian." And I started to talk to her about it, but she was just not at all interested. Her way of dealing with responsibility was to excuse it and palm off her responsibility onto God. What I started to ask her was if she thought that Christians don't have their identity stolen, or if those Christians that had their identity stolen deserved for it to be stolen. Was she a better Christian than they were? She didn't want to hear it, so, oh well. But the point being is if we have a misunderstanding of our relationship with God, we leave ourselves exposed. We put ourselves out there for more pain. And there's going to be bad circumstances. Bad things happen. And it has nothing to do with whether you're a good person or not. You think about, you know, an earthquake. Christians die in earthquakes. Has nothing to do, it's not, you know, God doesn't send out a telegram to all the Christians saying, okay, an earthquake is coming. He has arranged circumstances for each one of us. And when we learn to recognize that the pain in our lives is as important to the process as the joy, we don't go looking for it, but we accept it as from his hand. I like the illustration of a potter. It takes both the left hand and the right hand to form the clay into something that fits the image of the potter. The right hand of blessing and the left hand of challenge. If it's only one hand, it's going to be a lopsided pot. It's not going to be usable. So God uses both hands in the forming of our lives. And it's going to be according to his vision, his image of what he is forming us into. You know, we always fall back on the rain falls on the just and the unjust. But we need to check our own ideas about that. Do you believe that if you do everything right, you'll never have any controversy in your life? You'll never have any challenges? Everything will go smoothly in your marriage, in your family, in your finances, your job, in your physical being? You'll never have any issues? But that's not from God. That's not his idea of why we're here on this earth. It's not to avoid those situations, but to learn how to overcome them. Sometimes we overcome simply by enduring them, going through them, getting through them. God alone gets to decide how we do. We're not going to be able to very often conclude, okay, this was this produced this in me. Sometimes we'll be able to, way after the fact, look back and say, wow, I hated it going through it, but I learned something through that that I never knew how much I needed. You know, we all know, don't pray for patience, because God will put you in situations where you need it. So we trust that He puts us in the situations we need in order to develop what we need. And He knows best what we need. So we forgive God. And in many respects, it is simply a way, forgiving Him is simply a way to keep those misconceptions from gaining a foothold in our thoughts, in our emotions, in our actions. If we believe God tricks us, if we believe that if we are just following God and doing everything right, that nothing bad will happen to us, when something bad happens to us, we will feel tricked or cheated. And we will feel rejected. And so to prevent that, we go through a process, a very simple one, and we'll probably have to start this next Tuesday, of merely making sure our concept of God as to who He truly is and who we truly are, we keep that accurate according to His reality and not according to our preconceptions. We become willing to change our mind, change our beliefs about who God is and who we are and how He works in our lives. We also develop confidence in God. If we think of Him in terms of being a coach and we're on a sports team, He's going to put us in situations where we learn, you know, for instance, how to push through a certain level of pain. But then there's a pain that we shouldn't push through, and we know then how to stop. And so as a coach, part of his job, part of his responsibility is to make sure that the different kinds of pain are identified and responded to appropriately. In training, there's a time to just push through, not wanting to do one more push-up, one more sit-up, one more lap. But He encourages us on to push through that pain, that discomfort. But if we break something, we break a bone, we don't want to make it worse by continuing. So He recognizes it, and He pulls us off the field. But the goal is not centered around, the decisions aren't centered around, do we feel pain or not? The decisions are made, will we be able to play the game on Sunday? Will we be ready to be taking part in what God has for us? So we need to continue to see things from His perspective. We forgive God, which restores our unconditional acceptance of His love for us. We let Him be the God, and we keep our relationship with Him, our acceptance of Him, based on our real relationship our identity as spirit. So we'll pick this up at this point next Tuesday and learn how to specifically, step by step, forgive God and keep that relationship open with Him. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Have a great day.